Blog Good Talk evening. Radio.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.
Good evening, ThinkBigRadio.com listeners. I'm Elaine Seth, your host for this evening. Thank you so much for joining me this Thursday, July 9th, 2009. As I speak with Matthew Allen, Sharon Hellman, and Perry Danner of the Veterans Wheelchair Games. Are you guys there?
We're here.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Now, before we get started, Sharon, if you would, please share with all of our listeners how we may reach you and learn more about the Veterans Wheelchair Games.
Yeah, Elaine, you can reach us on our website, www.wheelchairgames.va.gov, or you can call the facility directly at
509-434-7000.
Okay, so you can repeat the number one more time.
509-434-7000.
Wonderful. Now, I understand that the 2009 games are right around the corner. They're just a few days away. Is that correct?
That's correct. July 13th, we start the big games.
Okay, and they're the 13th through the...
18th of July.
Okay, and where will they be held this year?
In Spokane, Washington.
Great. Okay, and if you could tell us a little bit about what type of a turnout are you expecting regarding athletes as well as spectators?
Thanks, Elaine, for even asking. I appreciate that. We're looking at over 600 athletes, veteran athletes, coming from throughout the nation as well as in Puerto Rico and Great Britain. We have over 3,000 volunteers, including the Air Force has active duty personnel as well as reservists coming in to help. And we're looking at spectators, over 1,800 visitors, as well as they bring in their families, their coaches. So we're expecting a very big turnout. And, you know, Washington State is huge. So everything from we're near Seattle, Washington. We're expecting a lot of people coming in from there, as well as Boise, Idaho, to Montana, to Oregon, all to come in and even just watch the games.
Wow, that sounds like quite a turnout.
Yes.
And I'm sure you've been busy all year long putting everything together.
Yeah, it takes us 2 years to prepare for this. But, yeah, the last year is really intense.
So are the games every other year or are they every year?
They are every year. So already next year is going to be in Denver. And
okay.
The year after that is going to be in Pittsburgh. So we will see... many staff members from the VA hospitals as well as volunteers that will be coming in from those two locations so that they can observe the games and watch how it's done. So we hand it off to them. They're prepared for next year's games.
Wow. Now, Perry, if you could tell me a little bit about what goes into the planning from A to Z for an event like this.
Well, as you can imagine, it's a very large logistical event to get 600-plus athletes here. And you know, working with the airports, with transportation, with the local community, the business community, the hotels, just to be able to accommodate so many athletes in wheelchairs. And just if you can imagine bringing 600 athletes into Spokane, within 2 days, a number of wheelchair athletes riding on an airplane and you know, just the amount of time required, it's quite a logistical event. And you know, I have to say to Sharon's credit, you know, she's been down to the airport working with the leadership there, to the business community, and also the entertainment and hospitality community to ensure that the athletes have the best games they've ever had.
Wow, and as athletes, we all have to overcome different obstacles as well as learning how to compensate. But for veterans and athletes that may be paralyzed or in wheelchairs, this is even more of a challenge. If you could give us a few examples of different types of events that the athletes will be competing in this week.
Well, there's actually over 17 venues that we have. And so the athletes will compete in everything from swimming, softball, cycling, track and field, rugby, which is a phenomenal event to see them in rugby, to basketball, swimming, archery, trap shooting. It's all over. Bowling is another one. Motor rallies. So we have many veterans who are in wheelchairs where they're motorized wheelchairs, and so we have a kind of a poker rally for them down at the park. That's just the name of you. And by the way, I do have to mention this one, Elaine. I almost forgot, and it's one of the ones that's brand new, is we're going to have veterans golfing this year.
Wow. Oh, how exciting.
Yeah, they have special golf carts and chairs that will allow them to get out there and hit the driving range.
That is amazing. Now, how are the groups divided? Are there age divisions, or how is it split up, or is everyone just put together?
They have different classifications, Elaine, and the first thing that we do Monday is an athlete registration, and so each athlete is individually evaluated from class 1 to class 4 based on their level of disability and the sports that they've participated in the past. So if this is your first year and you have full use of your arms, you might be classified one way, whereas if you've been doing this for 10 years but you have something that limits your range of motion or the use of your arms, you might be in the same classification, but they do that on a case-by-case basis. And that way everybody can be on a level playing field, and so everybody can have a good time and not feel like they're the underdog, but it's a fair competition, and when you win the gold, you know that you really won the gold against your peers.
Absolutely. And I understand, as you mentioned before, there's a huge support staff and coaches and volunteers that are involved.
Mm-hmm.
How do you go about securing and finding the coaches and the staff members, as well as preparing and training them?
Well, the actual coaches and officials are all ones that are partners through the games as Paralyzed Veterans of America. And they are an organization that is well-known not only nationally but internationally. And so they, for that piece of the games, they do provide those officials. And many of the coaches actually come from the VA hospitals who have been trained in this as well over the years. And anyone who has witnessed the games, this is the 29th games, you become very addicted to wanting to be there and be part of the games because it is so inspiring. So a lot of it you'll find it's many of the coaches and athletes, and they come in and it's their 20th game or their 25th game. So it's a calling, if you may, as well, once you see it.
And do you find that a lot of the staff and coaches are also veterans?
Almost definitely. You just said it. There are a lot of them are veterans. And, you know, the VA throughout the nation is known for hiring veterans. That's one of the things that we do. And so the 3,000 volunteers that are going to be there are also not only veterans in the community, but veterans who are on staff at the hospitals, not just in Spokane, but Portland, Seattle, from Walla Walla, Washington to Boise, Idaho. They come from all over.
Wow, and you mentioned that, once you see these games that you become just engulfed and you want to be more involved every year. If you could, I'm sure there are many memories that stand out. Are there any specific ones that you can recall right offhand that really, really stood out more than others, or specific games or athletes?
Yeah, just for my own personally, I saw last year it was in Omaha. I walked into the swimming venue, and one of my staff members even said, I'm going to warn you, you're going to see a veteran who many of us thought could not swim. You need to be ready for this. And they put him in the water, and everyone in the room just got dead silent, and you know, your heart leaps out of your chest thinking there's no way somebody who doesn't have arms or legs is going to be able to swim a lap in a pool, and let alone be able to be able to surface. And we sat there and watched that veteran go from one end of the pool to the other. There was not a dry eye in the house. And to this day, I couldn't tell you who got first place in that heat, but I can tell you that by the time he got done, To this day, I think of him and had to actually find him later on in the games and just tell him how inspiring that he was to so many of us. And even our own local athletes who have competed in the games, talking about how for the first time they felt like they were welcomed home, and that even one of our own athletes, Brent King, had mentioned the other day that it's the one week where all of us who have that are able-bodied and not in a wheelchair are the minority. And all of the veterans who come together are brothers and sisters who have served in this country and given us our freedom, and they have that commonality. So when they all come together, it just to sit back and watch it is moving into itself.
Wow. And Matthew, do you have any particular memories that you can recall?
Well, I'm fortunate that this is my first games, and I was included in this. We're looking to make some memories this year. We're trying to make it a year of firsts. We're actually the smallest facility to ever host the games in Spokane, and if things stay on track, we are going to see the largest athlete turnout. Anything over 587 will be a new record. That'll be really memorable for me, and you know, just preparing for the games has already been such an impact that even though the games aren't here, I'm already looking forward to helping out Denver next year.
And Perry was in the New York
Yes, I was in the New York games in Midtown Manhattan in 2001. I participated in the motor rally. I participated in the whole event, but actually volunteered to accompany an athlete on the motor rally who was in a puffer chair, and they're in Central Park. And I'm telling you, you do not leave an event like that unchanged. It was amazing. And, I can think back and you know, it was an amazing event.
Yeah, and I can imagine. I worked for Ford for a number of years, and I remember a lot of my union brothers and sisters who had served in the armed forces always had a sense of camaraderie about them. And they didn't have severe losses personally like some of the athletes who are competing that may be injured and, you know. So I can imagine even more so how much camaraderie they must have.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, for some of them that are, it's their first games, and they've either served sometimes in Iraq or Afghanistan, and they've been injured. And to come to the games of this nature, it's not so much the medals are important, but what it does for them is just sometimes indescribable. You have veterans where they will tell you, by coming here to the games, it changes their lives forever. And to give somebody who, again, has served our country, just that one gift out of the year. They make friendships that are longstanding. The spouses, the family members, I got to mention them. Their support system of others who are going through or have gone through having a family member in a chair, that, again, is very priceless to them on what they take away from it and building relationships of support with one another.
I can imagine. Now, you're mentioning local events as well as the national event. Are there qualifiers to get to the national event, or how does this work?
This is the one national event. So all of them come here the one time of the year. A lot of physical therapists throughout the year, though, work with all the athletes to kind of get them prepared for the events. So they kind of do what's called a slalom, like an obstacle course. So some of their physical therapists will kind of put them through a little mini one back at their medical center in, let's say, New York or Florida or Illinois. But this is the one national event for the games.
Great. Now, if we could one more time, let's get the contact information out.
Sure.
How might people be able to learn more about the wheelchair games, and how might they be able to get involved?
Okay, it's they can call 509-434-7000, so 7000, or anybody can go to our website at www.wheelchairgames, you don't even need spaces in between, all wheelchairgames.va, www.gov, G-O-V.
Great. Now, I understand this is the 29th wheelchair game.
Correct.
If you could take me back into the past, how this all began and when it started.
Boy, 29 years ago, they had, I want to say, about 50 athletes who came together for just that, to not only come together for the camaraderie and see one another in chairs, but also to start competing. From that, it has just grown, especially after the Vietnam War, and it has just taken off to where, as Matthew said, it's going to have over 587 athletes this year. So it did start really small and just grew over time.
And more events have evolved over the period of time to the largest wheelchair games
in the world.
This is, without question, the largest event. And, for example, I participated in the 2001 games in Manhattan. That was the first year for the Kids Day, and we're carrying on that legacy here in Spokane for Kids Day.
And Elaine, just quickly mention that, though. It's where we match kids up in wheelchairs with veterans who are in chairs, and they do three events like basketball and softball and like the slalom course, an obstacle course.
Oh, that has to be absolutely amazing to watch the kids.
It is.
Wow. And I know you mentioned athletes coming from different countries. Are these U.S. veterans that have moved abroad, or?
In the early years, the British veterans were allowed to participate, and they kind of were grandfathered in. But since that time, it's only U.S. veterans. And that was, they're just been grandfathered in. There's just a few of them.
Mm-hmm.
And Puerto Rican are U.S. veterans, of course.
Okay. So what is the farthest throughout the United States that someone might be traveling to come to these games this year?
Probably Puerto Rico, Hawaii.
Hawaii would be one.
Yeah.
Alaska. Yeah, we definitely have representatives from every state. And then we do what's called an opening ceremony where they all come in by state. So they, you get to actually see all of the Californians all together compared to, you look at another one where maybe Iowa or some of the smaller, even the eastern states are represented.
And is it a procession where they might carry their state flag as they're coming in, or how
exactly.
Does
it? Exactly. Yep. Uh-huh. You just said it. Yep. They come in and they all get kind of highlighted on the video screens, and we have a huge convention center that they're going to be at. And then we have a closing ceremony where one athlete that all the veterans vote on throughout the games, and they are highlighted, the one athlete, at the end of the games.
Great. Now, do you have any athletes that may be returning to defend the title?
We have quite a few, especially in the basketball and rugby events.
Mm-hmm.
The teams take their sports very seriously, just like any high-level athlete would. And as I understand it, there's a pretty good rivalry going for the basketball championship right now between three different teams who have really fought it out over the last few years.
Wow, I can imagine. Leading up to this, the rivalry and the camaraderie at the same time.
Yeah, you got to have some fun in it. We also have three Paralympians who, I believe from last year's games, went on and competed there. I don't know about this year, but for sure that they did last year.
Okay, now I understand you have other events throughout the year. This is your 29th wheelchair games.
Correct.
But what other events might veterans who may be paralyzed be able to take part in over the course of the year?
Yeah, they're actually, it's the rehabilitation games or rehabilitation events. And those are at a national level. One is called Creative Arts, and everything from singing to artists to plays, poetry,
everything, every media of art is represented, writing, everything.
And then they have Winter Sports Clinic, which is skiing, and that's held in Colorado as well.
Yes.
And they do a senior one where we have a certain class of seniors actually do events. And then one they just recently added was the Summer Games. And I believe they're going to continue to hold that in San Diego, California. And it really started, again, with these new returnees coming back, again, who have an injury and having them come out and compete in San Diego. And that's something new that we're just starting.
And do you have any tentative dates for any of these other events that you've mentioned?
We can get them for you. Know like Winter Sports Clinic is always in April and
Creative Arts is in the fall.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And again, I'm intrigued by who may have developed this idea and this wonderful program 29 years ago. Was there a small group of people? Was it one person with a wonderful idea? How did this all come to fruition?
There were three individuals, really, who were key to that, and one of them is still involved with the games. His name is Tom Brown, and he is in a wheelchair as well, but he was a rehabilitation therapist in Hawaii, and he, along with a physical therapist and his boss, contrived this idea in the late 70s and talked about it and went through the planning process and then officially launched the games in 1981. So it was a gentleman who was in a wheelchair. He was born with a birth defect that had him in a wheelchair, and he wanted to find a way to help the veterans that he was serving, and that's how the games came to be.
And to this day, Tom Brown is somebody who helps all of us. He's been in all of the games since then.
That's absolutely wonderful. Tom Brown, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And I can imagine when you're watching the athletes competing and you know, telling me about how it just tugs at your heart and then you're so involved. Are there any, common concerns or common challenges that a lot of the athletes may share in regard to maybe their family being supportive or what challenges they might face outside of, their injuries?
Yeah, I think for the most part, and we not only hear this a little bit in the games, but also in day-to-day, in serving veterans at a VA hospital. But when, a new returnee comes back, they get the welcome home that's much different from our Vietnam vets, and they get embraced, and they get back on their into their normal life, if you may. However, it has changed. It's changed for them, and it's changed for their family. And so having that transition is what the VA is here for. And so there is the challenge, but at the same token, we hear that, thank goodness, the VA is there for me because we provide such comprehensive health care that is not just the medical side, but it's also the other things that come with any wound, which is the wound you don't see, the mental health side. And we work close also with what's called vet centers and helping out the family members and getting them any type of counseling and support that they need. Because now that veteran who's come home, it's transitioned for them as well.
And what advice might you give to veterans who, maybe when they initially came home, they had the support, but then after a while it just kind of phases out and everyone returns to what they call their, normal life, and they don't realize that they may need assistance or that they may need some guidance or a friend until later on. It's never too late to get involved, right?
Exactly. And I would say to them, anyone who, whether it is the veteran or a family member or a friend for that matter, ask them to go to a VA hospital for just any support. That's what we're here for. We serve our nation's heroes, and many times, we talked today with a group of veterans who were new returnees coming home, and you know, it's as if we put them through a building burning and expect them not to get burned, and you can't do that. We want to be there for them for their mental health as well as for any of their medical needs that they have. That is the purpose of VA. It is there for them, and all the staff who are here are dedicated to that mission.
Great. Now, is there anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners about the event that's coming up?
I appreciate the support that they have given veterans who have served our country honorably and welcome them home, especially when they see their hat that says a Vietnam veteran or a World War II veteran, and that just for them to know that these games will continue not only be here in Spokane, but will go on throughout the nation and throughout the years. And if it ever comes to their home, please get the chance to see it, as well as visit the website just to even see some of the video clips of prior games, and to come and volunteer at a VA hospital and give back to the veterans who have given so much to us.
Great. Perry, do you have anything to add?
No, I would just encourage people to come out and participate in the games, watch the event. For those in the Spokane area, the events are free. We encourage everyone to come out and cheer our athletes on. They work hard. They're very dedicated athletes, and we're excited to be hosting the games here.
Great. And how about you, Matthew?
Well, I would encourage anybody who is in the Spokane area or who will be to come to our opening ceremonies. That's Monday at 6 p.m. at the Spokane Veterans Memorial Arena. It's free. The parking is free. And really, once you see the opening ceremonies and all these guys come in by state and hear their stories, I promise you'll come to the games for each day after that just to see what comes next.
And Elaine, if I could leave you with one thing. This is a veteran who just said this recently about the female veterans as well as the male veterans who are there to compete. They said that their blood runs red, white, and blue. And I think the least we can do is come out and show support to them, especially everybody who is in the Spokane area.
Absolutely. And for our listeners out there who may wish to help out, what opportunities might exist for involvement and how might they get involved?
Oh, boy. To call that number as well as visit the website, we are more than happy to continue to have volunteers. Everything from giving out, you know, just bottles of water and towels to just being those support that you need to hand things off and to connect the basketball court and put it together. As well as just being a fan in the stand, as Perry had mentioned. I don't know, Matthew, you want to add? Or?
Yeah, those are the big needs right now. It's a real common theme when you have athletic events in July that people always say they need more water and more towels and more ice.
Absolutely. And as you mentioned just a few moments ago, you said that the veterans say that their blood runs red, white, and blue. And I come from a family with a strong military background. My father, my grandfather, great-grandfather, uncles all served in the armed forces.
Wow.
And I always remember one shirt my dad would wear. And every 4th of July, he runs marathons, of course, he wears it. And it says, "These colors don't run." And it's red, white, and blue.
Oh, that's
neat. And yeah, and it's really amazing how, you know, we just had the 4th of July holiday pass, and many of us had the opportunity to spend time with family and friends, and of course we're celebrating our country's independence and of course a day off of work, but I definitely want to just remind everybody out there that, you know, freedom is not free, and we definitely have to remember and support all of those who have given their time, have given their lives, and even sustained injuries in the line of duty. And I definitely want to say thank you to all the veterans out there, regardless of the area that they have served in. Personally, from the bottom of my heart, I thank you. And thank you for the support that you continue to show to the veterans and these opportunities that you're giving to the wheelchair games.
Thank you, Elaine. That was very good.
If you could, one more time, let's get your website out, the date and location of the event, as well as a contact number.
Okay. Again, it's 509-434-7000. You can call us, as well as our website address, which is www.wheelchairgames.com. www.va.gov, G-O-V. And the events are going to be at the Convention Center, the Veteran Memorial Arena, Riverfront Park, the Spokane Gun Club, the Spokane Falls Community College, Lilac Lanes and North Bowl Bowling Alleys, Whitworth University, and, of course, Esmeralda Golf Course. And they can go on that website. It has the entire schedule. Again, the contact information, a volunteer application they can fill out online, and we will automatically contact them, and they can give us a call or email us either way.
Wonderful, and I hope to follow up with you to hear how wonderful everything went coming up these next few days, as well as learning more about the other games that you had mentioned, the Winter Sports Clinic, the Summer Games, and the Creative Arts Games as well.
You bet.
Okay, thank you so much. You guys have a good night.
You too, Elaine. Thank you.
You so much.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. You are listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful. I hope you all enjoyed this evening's show. Until next time, please remember, keep your mind right, your heart true, your head up, and live your dream. This is Elaine Seth saying good night.